Hello and welcome to Unrivaled Experts, where we get the best of the best to share their insider secrets so you can get a shortcut to a better business and a better life. And here is my promise to you with today's show. I guarantee you are going to feel more hopeful and inspired by the time we reach the end of this episode, because joining us today, I have Dr. Alan Leica. And Dr. Leica was really living the good life. He was a leading cosmetic dermatologist until one day his life completely changed while he was visiting Disneyland, of all places, with his family. And there was a medical condition that was exposed on that trip, and we'll talk about that, but it led to a very sobering diagnosis, and it changed the course of Dr. Leica's life. And now he is a TEDx speaker. He's a best-selling author. He's a transformational coach and mentor. And today he's here to talk to us about how to live a fantastic life. Dr. Leica, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the show.
Chris, thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to be on your show.
I'm excited because you are a bright spot in this sometimes dark world, especially with some things that are going on in the world right now. So I'm very excited to have you on here, and I'd like to kick it off. I gave a little preview about that trip to Disney, but can you just tell us, you know, what happened, what this diagnosis was, and how it changed your life?
Sure. I'll start back in Disneyland. I was walking with my dear wife, Lucy, and my youngest daughter in Disneyland, and my wife turned to me and she said, "What's wrong with you, hon?" You know, I was taken aback, Chris. For once in my life, I hadn't said anything wrong. I hadn't done anything wrong. I hadn't even thunk anything wrong.
It's a rare moment for a married man.
A rare moment, you know. There's an old joke of, if you say something in the middle of the night, in the dark of the forest, are you still wrong? The answer is yes, if you're a married man. Well, my wife was concerned, and she persisted, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I don't think anything's wrong." Well, she said, "Listen to your foot." And I said, "That's the funniest thing you ever said, dear. What do you mean?" She said, "Well, listen to it." And my right foot had suddenly and mysteriously developed a right foot drop. You know, Chris, your brain is designed to lift up your foot with each step you take, and my foot wasn't doing it. It was flapping on the pavement with each step I was taking. She said, "Did you have a stroke?" And I said, "No, dear. If I had a stroke, I'd probably be lying on the pavement, muttering something unintelligible." Well, then she put down the ultimatum. "When you get back, you better get this checked out." So, Chris, what do you do when your significant other says, "Get it checked out"?
Well, you'll put up a fight, but then you go get it checked out.
That's right. You get it checked out. I saw dozens of doctors. I saw probably hundreds of doctors by the end. They did CAT scans. They did scan scans. They did PET scans. They did every scan known to man. And you know what they showed at the end of the day?
What was that?
Absolutely nothing.
Mm.
And you know, the doctors were befuddled. They thought I had a brain tumor or a slipped disc or something they could pin it on, but they found nothing. And you know, when doctors find nothing, they do more tests and more tests and more tests. And at the end of the day, I think they exhausted every test. So then they said, "Well, let's send Dr. Leica to a neurologist, the brain guy. They have all the answers to these complex pictures." So they sent me to one of the world leaders, and I walked in and I said, "Hi." And he said, "Hi back. You better be sitting down when I tell you this." I said, "Why? I've got a dropped right foot." He said, "No, you don't. You have ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Get your affairs in order. In 6 months, you're going to be dead."
Mm.
Wow. I was taken aback, Chris. So I said, "Is there a way to prove this diagnosis?" He said, "Of course, on autopsy."
Oh, goodness.
You know, I shot back, you know, I'm not going to die to prove you wrong. But you know, when you go through that, Chris, you go through the phases of death and dying that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote in her book on death and dying. You go through anger, and anger is a terrible emotion the only good thing about it is it motivates you and moves you forward. But I was angry at my wife. I was angry at my children. I was angry at my staff. I was angry at my patients. But I couldn't tell them that something was wrong, because if I did, there would be, you know, they'd abandon me. And I couldn't let that happen. But then you go through bargaining, you know, oh God, please don't let this happen. I'll do anything if you don't let this happen. But I thought God wasn't listening back then. And then you go through denial. And by denial, I mean you deny that you have it. So you push yourself harder and harder and harder. I'd work 12-hour days. I'd work 24-hour days. I knew I could do it and I could get anything done. But you know, through all of this, my right hand started not working properly. I couldn't hold my surgical instruments the way I did. But you know, I was smart. I was able to learn to be a left-handed doctor, and I could do anything with my left hand that my right hand could. So I really adapted. I even had to invent tools to help me even do more as a job as a left-handed surgeon. But then you go through depression, and depression is the worst. That's when you can't sleep, you can't eat, everything is black. I call those the black days, and they're really terrible. Have you ever been depressed, Chris?
I haven't. I mean, I've had little touches of it, but nothing like that deep, dark hole that you kind of crawl into. That I have not experienced.
It's a deep, dark hole. And, you know, it's one where you stay in bed all day staring at the ceiling because nothing matters. You've lost your purpose. You know, I was not going to let myself die gasping for air like I'd seen people do with ALS when I was a doctor. So I was going to kill myself. But before I did that, I went to my wife and I said, "Dear, what do I have?" And she said, "Dear, I haven't got the faintest idea, but you're smart. You'll figure it out." I said, "How can I, dear? I've seen every doctor known." And she said, "Perhaps you haven't found the right doctor yet." So, you know, that was something that stirred me on. And back then, in the early 2000s, something brand new was invented. It was called the internet. You ever hear of that, Chris?
Never heard of it. This is brand new.
It was so brand new back then. You had to get on by dial-on connections. Your phone would get on a cradle, and it would interact with another phone, and it would go, for something like 15 minutes. And if it connected, you talked to computers on the other side. Now, back then, we had no memory in our computers, so we couldn't get on like we did now. You had to use a language like DOS to get on. So you'd get on, and you'd finally be able to surf the internet. Now, the internet then was like the internet now. It had the world's best resources, but the world's worst garbage cans all right there. And so you know, my friends helped me navigate, and they found a doctor by the name of David Martz in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And David had a story very similar to mine, yet very different. His story was one where he got sick much more rapidly, and he was on his deathbed within a matter of weeks. Now, David was so well known. People from around the world were coming to say goodbye to him. And a doctor from Texas came up, a Dr. Harvey, and he looked at David and he said, "David, there's something wrong with this picture. You don't have Lou Gehrig's disease. You don't have ALS. David whispered, because that's all he could do at that time. He said, "What do I have?" The doctor says, "I think you have chronic Lyme's disease. I think you've been bitten by a tick, and it mimics ALS. Now, David said, "Well, what do I do?" The doctor from Texas said, "You don't need to do anything. All you need to do is go on the treatment I'll put you on. And if I'm right, you'll get rapidly better." And that's when a miracle happened. David was like Lazarus arising from the dead. Within 2 weeks, he was back to his regular activities. So I knew I had to get in touch with this doctor. So I phoned all the hospitals in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and I met up with David at the Methodist Hospital, and we talked for hours. And David said, "Can you come down and see me?" I said, "When?" He said, "What about right now?" I said, "David, I can't. My wife, this is Thanksgiving in Canada, and my wife's invited 50 people over." David said, "Aren't there any planes in Canada?" You know, he wasn't going to let me get off that easily. So I went to my wife and I apologized. I said, "Dear, I'm not going to be here for Thanksgiving." She said, "Why? I've invited 50 people over." I said, "Well, dear, there's a doctor in Colorado Springs that claimed that he can help me." She said, "Well, what are you waiting for? I'll pack your bags for you. I'll take you to the airport." My wife did a 180-degree turn, marvelous lady. So she got me to the airport. And I got this one on this wonderful flight from Edmonton to Denver, 2.5 hours long, just beautiful. And then I got on a flight from Denver to Colorado Springs. It was a rinky-dink puddle jumper. Chris, have you ever been on a rinky-dink puddle jumper?
Many times. Yes, I grew up in a small city in Wisconsin, so that's all we had to get in and out.
Okay. Well, this one was especially a challenge because the air comes off the desert at the end of the day, and so it creates eddies, which causes turbulence. So that plane would drop 100 feet without warning. It would climb back to its height and then drop another 200 feet without warning. It would climb back to its height and then drop 300 feet without warning. That flight was the flight from hell. And that 15-minute flight, everyone was green. It was like the drop of doom at Disneyland over and over and over again. So I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Longest flight of your life, that 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was. And the greenest flight of my life, too, because everybody that got off that flight was green. But I crawled off, and there was David on the tarmac to meet me. You know, back then, there wasn't all the precautions that were put on because of 9/11, so it was great. And he said, "We got to talk." And we talked. And David said some magic words. He said, "Dr. Laika, I think history is repeating itself." And sure enough, it was, because he started me on treatment, and that is what got me here today. But you know, when you go through something about this, your life changes. You really go through, you think, did I live? Did I love? Did I really matter? Did I really make the best of my life? So I was given a second ticket to live my, a second golden ticket to live my life. And so I did. And I started to give back to society, and one of the things I started to support was an award at the Women of Distinction for the YWCA. You see, Chris, in society, even today, women are not recognized as much as they should, so I thought I was going to help change that. So I helped sponsor this award. I was the main sponsor, and what happened is a wonderful lady by the name of Harriet Tinka decided to apply for that award. Now, Harriet had a story very similar to mine, but very different. Harriet was a world-class model walking the cat ropes of New York, Milan, and Paris, and she got tired of the industry because it's such a dog-eat-dog industry. So she decided to go on and take up her second love, which is accounting. And as a result, she went to the University of Calgary in Calgary, Alberta, to take a degree in that. Now, there she was befriended by a person who turned out to be a psychopath. And that person ended up kidnapping her, stabbing her, and leaving her for dead. Now, she ended up in a hospital. She doesn't know how she got there. But when she got there, she was getting rehabbed and very depressed. And a young girl came up to see her. The young girl's name was Amber. She was in a wheelchair, wheeling down the hall. She had lost both of her parents in a car accident and lost the use of her legs. But she was happy as a lark. She was cheerful. She was really beaming. And she asked Harriet her story, and Harriet told her story. And the girl said to her, "You need to be ashamed of yourself, Harriet. You need to go out and use your story to empower other people." So Harriet decided to apply for this award called the Turning Point Award in order to help other people. And she wanted to meet me. And at the end of the meeting, at the end of the award banquet, she said, "Dr. Laika, can I take you for lunch?" And I said, "Sure, let's talk." And she talked and she said, "Dr. Laika, let's write a book together." And that's how we end up writing the book called The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life. And it became a bestseller in the great pandemic of 2020. And it is really about our experiences and about the 13 golden pearls we found in people that will empower anybody to have a better life. All they have to do is look inside themselves and find these golden pearls and work on these golden pearls.
And I love this because as you're talking, I'm writing some notes and things, kind of collecting my thoughts. And one thing that I wrote down was, you know, you hear a story like yours where you're, you know, luckily had a simple enough recovery once you were able to identify what was ailing you, but you went down this path of, you know, those steps of grief, the anger, denial, bargaining, etc., all the way down to where you're having suicidal thoughts and, you know, just life isn't worth living anymore. And then turning around and now really embracing life and wanting other people to live a better life. And I was thinking, it's a shame that we have to get to that point to where we think we're dying or we're going to kill ourselves in order to really learn the lessons of what is important in this life. And it sounds like that's exactly what you put in this book with the 13 golden pearls. Is that right?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny, Chris, but life is built around how tragedy and then the peaks of exaltation. And it's our tragedies that allow us to have our greatest experience. It's our tragedies that allow us to appreciate the great things in life. Without those tragedies, we would never really appreciate the great things that happened to us. So although that was a very dark time in my life, I look back and say, I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have those experiences.
Absolutely. And to fully appreciate it, you do need to experience that bad and those down cycles in life, right? But I love that you're laying these things out, laying out those lessons. So hopefully we don't have to go down that dark hole completely in order to really learn these lessons and appreciate it and really start to design our lives and live our lives the way we feel like we should.
Well, the reason why Harriet and I wrote this book is so that people can get to where they need to be without having to go through the difficulties that we went through. That is what it's all about, and that's really what our lives are about. If you follow mentors, if you follow people that have been on a difficult path and learn from them, you can transcend your experience. You can get out of your experience much quicker and much better. And that's why I advocate to people is certainly always be learning, always be reaching out. And remember, it's not what happens to you, it's what you do with what happens.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in the book, the two of you lay out these 13 golden pearls to the secrets to living a fantastic life. If you had to pick maybe one or two qualities that we could start working on today and really getting a grasp of and really internalizing in order to change our lives for the better, what would those qualities be?
Well, let's start with pearl number one, and it's put as pearl number one because it's the most important in anybody's life, and that's love. Love, where would we be without love, Chris? And I'm going to start with a quote that begins that chapter. Love, I believe that dreaming is stronger than reality. Desire is more potent than apathy. Hope is more powerful than despair. Joy always triumphs over sorrow. That laughter is the ultimate cure for man's foibles. And I believe that love is stronger than hate, the greatest gift of all.
Absolutely. And the hard part about this, and maybe you can give me some insight, because I believe what you just read is true. The difficult part is putting it into practice. It's always seems so much easier to go down the path of anger and hate in despair rather than choosing, and I believe we can choose this path of love. What would you say to that? How do we choose this path of love?
Well, I think it's easy if you always try to act like Mother Teresa, and when somebody slaps you on one cheek, you give them the other cheek to slap as well. And you just don't let the things bother you that should bother you. When somebody comes at you, yelling at you with a loud voice, come at them with a shallow voice. When a person tries to stab you in the back, turn around and say, I'm so sorry for you. I hope you could learn from this experience. And truly, if you take the kinder, gentler task, you will always be, you will always take the high road rather than the low road. And I see a lot of anger out there. I see a lot of stuff going on right now that I don't like. But remember these words. If you take the high road, you'll never be sorry for it. If you take the low road, you'll always be sorry for it.
Absolutely. Having that presence of mind, having that ability to pause and really think about what is this action going to do to me in the future? How am I going to feel about it in the future? I think that's an incredibly important thing to be able to do, although it's challenging. Dr. Leica, you've really given us a lot of great information to think about. Your book has just a ton of great pearls of wisdom, hence the name, that we can really take and we can apply to our lives and learn from the experiences that you've had, so we don't have to go down that dark path in order to better our lives. Is there one more thought you would like to leave with us before we sign off?
The number one thought you must always think about is that it's not what happens to you, it's what you do with what happens. Always remember that. Always remember that your actions when something happens to you are so much important, or more important than anything that happens to you. It's the difference of night and day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we see it. If you look around, there are examples, yourself included, of people who have taken those things that have come to life, that have not come to their lives, that have not been positive. They've not been good, but they've been able to persevere and turn it into a strength. So thank you very much for joining us. How can our listeners learn more about you and connect with you?
Well, it's easy. If you need some coaching, and I recommend everybody gets coaching, go to Coaching with Dr. Leica. It's coaching with drlyca.com. And my website is Dr. Alan Leica, DrAllen Leica, LYCKA.com. Everything's there. My book, my speaking engagements, my coaching, everything else is there. So, and my podcast, my syndicated radio show as well. So make a point of checking those out. And please follow me. Look forward to talking to you soon. I offer a free 15-minute discovery call, by the way, so you can discover what can help you in your situation.
Absolutely. Coaching is the best investment you can make. You need to invest in yourselves. Go to DrAllenLeica.com or CoachingWithDrLeica.com. I'll put those links in the show notes so that way you have them for easy access. Dr. Leica, thank you again so much for joining us today.
You know, Chris, this was really a lot of fun and my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here and checking out our latest amazing guest. Be sure to head over to unrivaledexperts.com to learn from more incredible experts so you can get a shortcut to living your best life.